Welcome to Season 9 of A World of Good Podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I'm your host, which really just means that I get to have incredible conversations with leaders working globally or leaders that are working in missional ways in their churches and share those conversations with you. Now, this is an intro episode, so I want to have the opportunity to kind of share what you can expect this season from A World of Good. We are calling Season 9 a season of reflection, where we are spending some time looking back at conversations we have had, interspersed with some new conversations with leaders that we're recording. So the first question, where have we been? Well, let me give you a little bit of history. When Nate Tatman, my co-host for many years, and I started this podcast, we had been dreaming about this for maybe 6 months prior and starting to record some episodes as we traveled. The goal was pretty simple. As we traveled for our roles at Global Strategy, we would capture conversations of leaders around the world and share those with friends and church family back in the United States. So we did that. We traveled, we recorded for a number of months leading up to our launch, which happened in February of 2020. It feels like February, March of 2020 is one of those things. You can say those dates and people know exactly what was happening during that time. That was during the start of COVID-19. It was really a disappointing time to start a podcast built around travel. So things had to quickly change for us as we had to kind of reorganize and figure out how we were going to do this in the midst of a global pandemic. So many of our episodes were done via Zoom. Some of the first ones were recorded when we were traveling, but then as we started recording new episodes, many of those were done via Zoom because travel was really up and down during that time. Thankfully, travel did start back up slowly, and we were able to sit down with folks in person as the seasons went on. As I look back, I was trying to think about some of the most fun places that we have done interviews. And really, every interview was really unique and fun in different ways. But we have interviews from leaders literally all across the world. I did an interview under a tree in the front of a home in Maun, Botswana. I know Nate did one in a rental car in Bulgaria. When I was at the Asia Pacific Conference in Seoul, Korea, Joshua Uyghur and I did an update from the top of a Starbucks in downtown Seoul overlooking this beautiful skyline. I did one traveling on a highway in Paraguay, and really so many in between. We've been in some beautiful locations, like the garden at the guest house in Tanzania, where I interviewed a few of our African leaders. Or for a couple of our first episodes, I actually recorded at one of our Global Strategy Roundtables in a recording studio that was formerly owned by people connected with Bachman Turner Overdrive, and where I was told Frank Sinatra recorded. So crazy if that is true. Unverified, but crazy if that is true. We've recorded in some noisy locations. Joshua Uyghur and I did an interview with Pastor Wai-Chan Lam in Tokyo. So we were out walking with Pastor Wai-Chan and his wife, and we wanted to find a place to kind of just settle in where we could record. So we found a small coffee shop, got drinks, sat down. Now, to say small, that was really an understatement. In a city that large, so many of the buildings are narrow, and we were crowded on one side of this tiny coffee shop trying to have a conversation. Maybe not the most ideal location for a sound engineer, but it was such a fun place to sit and talk, and I can still see it in my mind. I've sat in people's living room as they've shared. I've recorded with a cup of coffee, sometimes with tea. Lots of different places with lots of different people, bringing lots of different conversations for people to listen to. So why do we do it? What's the purpose? The goal of these interviews is really pretty simple. When Nate and I started this, it was just to bring the voices of leaders from around the world to your home or car or on your walk or wherever you listen to podcasts. We wanted to keep the format as simple as possible, just asking questions and letting leaders share. And the only really overarching question that we've asked is, what good is God doing in your world? That's where we come up with the name A World of Good. We believe that God is doing good in the world. That's been our drive. Amidst the chaos, the confusion, the challenges that we face, frustrations, we know that God is doing a new thing, always. And we want to hear about that from every person we interview. And so that's really been our driving question. What good is God doing in your world? So where are we now? Well, it's been 4 years, and some things have changed. Nate is taking a hiatus from hosting, for instance, so I am often joined by other co-hosts. Since our beginning, we have done over 90 episodes. We have over 11,000 downloads. I did some quick math, and we've talked with leaders from at least 30 countries around the world. So we've been able to bring these conversations from literally all over the globe, over 30 countries, to you. And so I just want to thank you for listening. Thank you for engaging with these interviews. Thank you for praying for these leaders. Thank you for just being willing to be a part of this global family. And there are still more stories to tell, believe it or not. And so I'm excited to share more of those stories with you this season. But in the same token, we realize that we're really in a season of chaos and busyness. And we want to call you, we want to call ourselves to reflection. To reflect on where we've come, reflect on where we're going, to pause and hear from voices we've heard from before, and to be challenged again by their call to action. So this season, it's going to look a little bit different. And I want to give you a quick look at what that means. This season, we'll be featuring a number of what we're calling reflection episodes, where I take the main content from earlier episodes and it's republished with a new introduction. These are conversations that we think have a lifespan much longer than the one episode that they received. So conversations like the one I had with Kathleen Achi about ethical storytelling that challenges us to pause and think about how we share stories about others. We did a live podcast in Tampa that featured three leaders, one from Egypt, Dr. Latif from Egypt, Esteban Zapata from Honduras, and Tapan Borman from Bangladesh, sharing about how they're developing local leaders, how they're connecting with others regionally, how they're engaging their communities. A conversation with Emmanuel Masamba in Malawi, with Norberto Curley in Paraguay, Beth Wolf in the United States. Each of these brings important reminders for us in this time of reflection. Maybe you've heard some of these interviews already. That's okay. My encouragement for you is to re-engage them, to listen to them anew. I actually shared recently about in a blog post about The Wizard of Oz. I know it's a strange reference, but follow with me here. The Wizard of Oz has been a part of my life for a long time. I grew up in Kansas. My last name is Gale, which is Dorothy's last name. So I've heard Wizard of Oz statements. I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto, all that kind of stuff since I can remember. And recently, though, I realized that I'd never read the children's books that inspired the movie. So I found that, you know, the author Frank L. Baum wrote 14 books. The first was The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which was published in 1900. The movie came out in 1939. And I realized as I read the book that the movie was very similar to the book, but there was definitely some things that were different. I assume both to make the movie short enough that it could be not too long, but also because the content is a little striking. So for instance, in the book, the Tin Woodsman tells a story about how he became made of tin, and it's actually like a love story. He's in love with someone, and the Wicked Witch of the West is jealous, so she starts cutting off his limbs one by one, and he goes and, you know, gets his arm cut off, and then he goes to this tin maker in town that recreates his limb, and then eventually the Wicked Witch cuts off his head, cuts his chest in two, makes him fully tin. So maybe that's a little bit graphic for trying to portray on the silver screen at that time. You know, a remake of that would be really fascinating. It could absolutely be a horror movie. The Tin Woodsman cuts off the head of a tiger at one point. But then there's also characters like the Queen Mouse that doesn't even come into play in the movie, but is really important for her kingdom actually saves the lion who's trapped in a poppy field. But I think what struck me the most about this is that you know, a few of the things that are really recognizable. So if you were to ask me what is one of the most recognizable features of The Wizard of Oz, I would say, you know, among other things, you know, Kansas, tornadoes, but the ruby red slippers, right? That's what comes to our mind. They're one of the most valuable pieces of film memorabilia. There's only five pairs, and one is in the Smithsonian Museum of American History. So that's a huge part of an iconic part of film history and of The Wizard of Oz specifically. But in the book, Dorothy actually wears silver slippers. The reason they used this, the ruby red, was because they wanted to take advantage of the Technicolor innovations in movies at the time. So the producers changed it to kind of make it more striking. But I was really surprised by that. You know, one of the most recognizable features of The Wizard of Oz was not a part of the original story. And as I thought through that, I started to think about what other things in my life do I believe were a part of the of an original that aren't. So I started to wonder about scripture. Like, are there things in the Bible that because they're so cemented in my mind, because they've been retold to me over and over, that I attribute to the original text that aren't actually in the text. And if we're being honest, I think we would say, of course, you know, that's true. That doesn't mean that our additions are necessarily alter the interpretation of the text, but it definitely changes. And it causes me to want to come to Scripture with more humility. And for me, this is a reminder to always attempt as much as I can to look at Scripture with new eyes. And that's kind of the way that, as I thought about, you know, the ruby red slippers, that's kind of the way that I started to be challenged by it. But then I also think about it in terms of these podcasts. I encourage you to do the same with them. You know, maybe you've heard them before. I encourage you to enter again. Listen to these leaders and their stories. Maybe you'll find something new that you didn't catch the first time, or something that you thought you heard the first time that in listening to it again, you realize is different. I mentioned earlier that our main question in this podcast is, what good is God doing in your world today? And I'm not sure that I've ever had to answer that question for myself. So since I'm the only voice on this episode, I want to share. You know, for me, the word that comes to mind when I think about about the good that God is doing, especially for us at Global Strategy, the word that comes to mind is partnership. We know we can't do things alone, and we've never endeavored to do things alone. But building partnerships takes time because they're built on relationships, and relationships take time. In the last 6 months or so, I have seen over and over how God is bringing the right people to the table to create really healthy partnerships. We're working on a partnership for more trips right now. We're working with a number of organizations that do disaster relief and development, and partnering with them so that we can bring better and more assistance to our churches around the world that are experiencing disasters. There are so many ways that God is bringing the right people at the right time. And that's been my prayer recently. And I see that happening. And it's a reminder to me, you know, I think we have these things in our life that when things are difficult, where we pray and we see God show up, and those become markers for us. And so that's been my prayer recently, that God would bring the right partnerships in place. And I see God doing that. And it's so exciting. So with that, I want to welcome you to season 9. Grab a cup of coffee. I have mine. Journey with us. As I, with global leaders, lead us through conversations about our world and what it means to live faithfully today. Join us.